I began to study this scripture that God has laid on my heart today in Acts 19. I struggled with this a little bit. I started to see some things that I recognized and some things that I didn't. A couple weeks ago I made some remarks about the evil spirits in people and evil spirits in our lives and how they work in our lives, and I just want to follow up on that many today in our society do not believe that evil spirits are at work in our lives, and they don't even believe in them, to be honest with you, and how sad it is that they have that attitude, because so often an attitude like that leaves us vulnerable to the very work that they do in our lives. And when I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, I had referred to some of the other pastors and students at the school in Ohio where I'm going now, telling stories about being on mission trips in Haiti and about the possession of the evil spirits and many of the people in Haiti, and how in one particular case the one man who was possessed by an evil spirit had said to the men that were there that his king had no power over the missionary's king, who was Jesus. It was interesting that as I was out in Chicago this past weekend speaking to those who were graduating there from Moody Bible Institute, that I heard the same story. When you hear the same story like that within a short period of time, God's trying to tell you something. And I listened up and my ears perked up and learned of the many different places that the students had gone, mission trips, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the same thing, the evil spirit possession in people and what it did to people and how it was just, they were controlling the people's lives. And actually, as we read in the Bible, as present in our day today, was actually throwing people into fits and causing all kinds of havoc in their lives. Well, we know this was the case in many of the places that Paul went on his missionary journeys to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one of those places was Ephesus. In our reading today, Paul is in his third missionary trip. He's in Ephesus, and it tells us that he entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. As Paul did, he would go into the Jewish synagogues first. Paul was a Jew. And he'd go into the synagogue. They'd always have a traveling teacher. He'd go there and he'd teach about Jesus Christ. And many of the synagogues he was thrown out of because the people didn't believe him when he spoke the word of God. But it tells us, and this is in verse 19, verse 9, some of them became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, which was the teaching about Jesus. So Paul left them and he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Now Tyrannus was a philosopher in Ephesus of that day. And the philosophers traditionally had their own lecture halls and people would come to hear them speak and to learn from them. And in this particular case, Paul went into the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And he spoke there for 2 years so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. It was Paul's intention that everyone, everywhere he went, heard the word of the Lord. This is very important. In Paul's day, in our lives, in my life personally, that everyone here hears the word of the Lord. It tells us now that Paul did extraordinary miracles, or that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. And I want you to see, I hope in your Bible, that it's offset in a paragraph like it is in mine, because this is an important separation of thought and a point that Luke is trying to make. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Now, miracles, signs, and wonders that were being done in Paul's day were signs and works done through special abilities or special powers that were given to Paul. They were given by God through the Holy Spirit. This is the whole subject of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, many will say, is about the Acts of the Apostles as they went out and the church grew. But actually, the book of Acts is all about the Acts of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of people to birth the church, give the church its power through the giving of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about next week, and to watch the church grow in the power of the Holy Spirit through the miracles and the wonders that were taking place. In other words, people were standing back and say, "Oh my goodness, how in the world is this taking place?" It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Paul and Silas went to Philippi on their second missionary trip? We find it in Acts chapter 16. They went to Philippi and they found they were going to a place of prayer, and they met the slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, and she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling, called the sorcery. This girl followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." This girl with the spirit in recognized these men because she recognized the spirit that was in these men. She kept this up for many days, and finally, because Paul became so troubled by it, he turned around and he said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And the spirit left her. It tells us in our text today that God was working miracles through Paul. People would just simply touch the aprons. Their aprons and handkerchiefs would touch him. Their illnesses were cured. The evil spirits left them. It also tells us that some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Seven men, sons of a Jewish high priest, were exorcists. They were going around casting out evil spirits. And the King James Version says they were vagabond Jews. They traveled around from place to place. They were exorcists that took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus. They took it upon themselves to call on this Jesus to cast the spirits out. Seven sons were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" The man who had the evil spirit jumped on these seven sons and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. This evil spirit was seven times more powerful than a human man. He overpowered seven of them in a certain situation and literally beat them up. Now, I'm not into all this ghost stuff that all these kids are nowadays, but there's a name for this type of ghost. The name that comes to my mind is poltergeist, but I don't think that that is really right. But at any rate, these men had no power over this evil spirit. They invoked the name of Jesus, which means to call upon for help. But the evil spirit beat them up. Now, when we start to talk about miracles, we have to understand that a miracle is an event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature and is regarded as an act of God. So the things that Paul was doing in his ministry in the name of Jesus was contrary to all the laws of nature. And everyone saw it as an act of God. Because when the people saw what had happened here to these men, this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus. They were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds, and a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. A huge amount of stuff done away with, worth thousands and thousands of dollars, was done away with because people could see there was a difference here. God had been working miracles in Paul, But when these Jewish exorcists called on Jesus, it didn't work. The reason is because they were using magic. There's nothing magical about the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between miracles and magic. Magic is a supposed supernatural power that makes impossible things happen or gives somebody control over the forces of nature. And it's used in many cultures for healing or to keep away evil or seeking the truth or even for vengeful purposes. As I walked into a gift shop last weekend, a gift shop, packaged nice and neatly on one of the racks, several rows of them, all different shapes, colors, sizes, were little voodoo dolls that anybody could go in and buy. I forget what they're called, voodoo friends, something like that, that people could go in and buy. In many areas of our world today, in many cultures, magic is used for many, many purposes. But magic is not the miracles of God. And we see the difference here today in our text. The Bible refers to magic as sorcery or witchcraft and divination, and it strictly forbids it. The Bible strictly forbids magic, sorcery, or witchcraft. But what Luke is telling us here in Acts 19 is that the power of God through the working of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than all of the evil spirits that the enemy can bring into our lives. Sadly, our culture today is being bombarded with this magic phenomenon and its power. TV commercials. This is the magical solution to your problem. It works like magic. You say, oh yeah, that's just a figure of speech. We've seen magazine ads that talk about things with magical solutions and the way it works. We turn on our televisions to the Disney Channel, and the Disney Channel has several programs for young people that glorifies witches and witchcraft as if it's a good thing to do and have, and it's a good power that we can have in our lives, is the power of magic. And of course, many of our major movies. But I want to tell you folks something. This is a very real subject to deal with. Because you start dabbling in that kind of stuff, and you're going to find yourself in a very, very helpless, dark place. Beat up and stripped naked by these evil forces. They are very, very real. We cannot underestimate them. But what is greater that we need to focus on and concentrate on is the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, in our lives. Why should we want anything else? Sadly, we're raising a culture much like Ephesus, callous to and accepting of magic to the point when God performs a miracle as a sign to us, we say, wow, it was magic. It was magic. And you might be asking, but didn't they invoke the name of Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say that all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved? Yes, it does. But in this context, we have to understand that there were many different spirits at the time that the people believed in that were working. And the concept was that the more powerful the evil spirit, the more powerful spirit we needed, or they needed, to overcome that spirit. So they just go around thinking, well, I'll call on this spirit to overcome these evil spirits. So all of a sudden they thought, well, we'll call on this Jesus whom Paul preached that they didn't even know and accept themselves. That was the key here. You see, you just can't pull Jesus out of a hat when you need him. It doesn't work like that. How many of you have ever had a friend call you? Said, I need help. Can you come over right away and help me? You hang up the phone and say, why should I go help them? They never care about me any other time. Right? You see, the situation here was that these men were sorcerers. They were exorcists. They were trying to use magic in Jesus' name in a magical way, and it does not work like that. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. And it shows us that when the situation happened, that this evil spirit beat these men up, the people realized, wow, what we're doing is completely wrong. And they took all of these scrolls. First of all, they publicly confessed their sin. And they took all these scrolls and burned their books publicly. And they calculated the value at 50,000 drachmas. A drachma was about a day's wages. 50,000 days' wages. Why? Because they saw that the power, the true power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, was more powerful than any evil spirit. And that they knew that practicing magic was wrong. They confessed that what they had been doing was wrong. And instead, they repented and held the name of the Lord Jesus in high honor. It's a great story, but yet it's a very real story. Luke was a doctor, remember? As Luke wrote Acts, this would have been very relevant to a doctor to see these kind of things happen. I know it was believed by some people that just simple sickness, epilepsy, things like that, it was believed were caused by evil spirits. But whatever the case, evil spirits are very real. They're in our lives today. The enemy seeks to destroy us in any way that he can. And I pray with all my heart that we do not become callous to this. That we remember that we hold a higher power in our hands, in the power of God's Holy Spirit. That when those times come and we're confronted with those evil spirits, and I'm telling you folks, it's real, we can say to them verbally with our lips, get out of here. You have no power over me. Jesus is my King and He's the power in my life and you have no power over me. I am a child of God's. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb and you have no place or no power in my life. And I can tell you from experience, you will feel a difference from that point on. The power of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than all the demons, all the evil spirits that can ever come into your life. And I pray that you remember that always. That we cannot just call on Jesus like a catalog. That we need to remember He's with us. He's near to us. And that we should call on Him in every situation. Let's pray. Dear God, it is a great thing that we can see the power of your miracles working in the lives of those who truly love you and believe in Christ and have Christ in their lives. I know that this week there will be times when our adversary, the devil, will seek to come into our lives and our situations to destroy us, to break us down, that he might stand back and laugh at us and point a finger at us and convict us of our turning and rebellion against our King and our Lord. I pray you give us strength. I pray that you give us courage to take this seriously. That in every place in our lives, in whatever way it might approach us, that we might have the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we might recognize that it is a miracle that God worked in the way that He does. In Christ's name, amen.